Are you being authentic with your feelings and emotions? Are you a positive thinker or an optimist? And what's the difference? Are you a complainer or a venter? And is it working for you? These are a few of the topics we talk about in this episode. The differences between a positive thinker and an optimist, how to vent in a healthy way, and how to decide what works for you and what doesn't. If you want to dive deeper into your authentic self, accept your painful emotions, and learn to deal with them, we'd like to welcome you to this episode of You Already Are. Hello, and welcome to another episode of You Already Are. I am your host, Alyssa Carlson. This is my co-host,
Michael Gardner. Glad to be here.
We are so excited. This episode's awesome. Hope you enjoy. What were you saying about?
In the concept of stress, it's not necessarily about what's outside of us. Everything's internal. So, you know, some people, if their house is not orderly, they feel stressed. Some people are stressed because they're so, what you would call, anal about it, that nothing can get out of place. And I know people that their house can be very messy, and they're very, you know, you go over, they just invite you in, and it's like, yeah, that's just how we live. I mean, it's not like they're horrible people. They just, it's not something that's important to them. So, you know, decluttering around us, I'm not saying do or don't do it, but what it's really about, what's going on the inside of us. You know, stress can be created because we think everything has to be perfect. And if any little thing's out of place, we're stressed. But on the other hand, some people like to know where things are, and they get stressed if they don't. You know, when I was given a talk in a church, and it was going away for 2 years, and I said, oh, it's not that long of a time. Yesterday I was cleaning my room, and I realized it's been 2 years since I've done that. It got a laugh. But yeah, our home is a lot less cluttered now. But, you know, it's really an internal state, and a lot of it depends on if you're worried about what people think about you or things like that. And there's a lot of factors in stress. So it's really, to me, I know people both ways. Some are stressed if their house isn't immaculate, and other people are stressed, you know, because it's not absolutely perfect. And other people are like, whatever. What's your take on it?
Right. And I'm trying to find the happy medium. I'm trying to find the happy medium of like, well, it's not the most important thing, but it is still important. And so I tend to feel better when my house is clean and tidy because I know where things are, and I just feel like it's less noise mm-hmm. in my space. But sometimes I think I put too much weight on having a clean home rather than having a happy and loving home. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of parents fall into that trap of like, I just want my kids to be clean and not messy. And then we miss the mark because it's like, well, it's not, would you rather have a clean home or happy kids, you know, or like a loving home, right? And
you can have both.
Yeah, and that's our goal, you know, like all in all, that's our goal, is to get our kids to be responsible, helpful adults, and help them learn that responsibility includes taking care of your house. And so, and then
right.
also, because they are responsible, they get to do all of these things. You know, like, because you're responsible, you get to stay up late and watch a movie with us. Or because you were responsible, you can play video games. Like, just little things like that that kind of help them learn, like, the values of taking care of your stuff and doing work before play sometimes. You know, we don't always do it that way, but anyways, that's my take on it.
Sure. See, one of the big stressors, you're talking about stress, is when we make hard and fast rules like that, you know, that you can't have this until you do this. And sometimes it just doesn't work in the situation. And it really is about the bigger picture. What do I want to create with my kids, or what do I, with my family or whoever? and sometimes hard and fast rules. We do them for a purpose, and you know, somebody wants to do that. But there, flexibility, I have found, is also a key to alleviating some of the stresses in our life, because then we get locked in. I can't do this, or we can't do that, because we have this rule and we're gonna stick by the rule and no matter what. And sometimes it works to be flexible.
And you think about like diets, you know, a lot of times you cut out all these things. And I read a book about intuitive eating, and how they're like, well, when you cut out stuff and you say that you can't have it, your mind automatically wants that thing that you can't have. And I, of course, that's a mindset thing. You can change it to like, well, I can have these foods, or I'm choosing to only eat these foods for a certain amount of time, so that you're not thinking about, well, I just can't eat those things. And then you also think about the strict rules of a diet. It's like, well, sometimes it's okay to break away from the diet. An example that's pretty recent is like, my husband is on this pretty stringent diet. He's just trying it out. It's called the Lean Gains diet. And it's where he has to eat 50% of his calories come from protein. And he's in a pretty severe calorie deficit. And so that's what he's been doing. He's doing really well on it, and he really enjoys it. And he knows he's only doing it for a certain period of time just because he has certain goals. But so that's what he's been doing. But we went on a trip this past weekend to Las Vegas, just a random like overnight trip, because it's right there. It's 2 hours away from us. So we took a trip to Las Vegas, and I planned the trip, and I wanted us to go to this blackout dinner. I don't know if you've ever heard of those, but it's a blackout diner where you go and eat in pitch black darkness. Like, you can't see your hand in front of your face. You can't see anything. And they serve you a 7-course meal, and it's all about trying to like let the other senses guide you, like, you know, how things feel, how things smell, how things taste. And it's trying to enhance your experience with food through taking your eyes away from it. And it was such a cool experience, delicious food. And I was like, you know, I felt kind of bad because I was like, it's not going to be in line with Remington's diet. And he was just like, this is one of those times when it's like, that's okay. That's okay that, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to ruin the rest of my plan or anything like that. It's like, this is an occasion. This is an activity that we're doing. And I just have to be okay with that. And I will get back on my diet, you know, tomorrow, or I will do my best the rest of the day. And that's just kind of how it is. So I think flexibility in a lot of our stringent rules is important. It's like, it's not always going to be perfect, and you have to be willing to accept and embrace and love those moments when it's not perfect. This brings me to one of the topics that I was thinking of talking about today, which is both the optimism and conflict, and how we all kind of face conflict in our lives. Such as, you know, you can't stick to a diet perfectly all of the time. And how do you overcome that without getting discouraged or without quitting altogether? And I think flexibility, or even just one thing that I mentioned, I think, in a previous episode months ago, was radical acceptance. This is something that I learned from a different podcast, but he talks about how we need to learn and embrace radical acceptance. And radical acceptance is just, you just take things for what they are, and then you can move on. It's like, that doesn't mean that you're resigning yourself to your fate, but you're saying, okay, this is how things are, and there's a way to get through this. And that, I think, is the difference between optimism and positive thinking. Is optimism takes things as it is and says, well, this is what is, but I believe there's a way to get through this, and there's a positive way to get through this. Whereas positive thinking is like denying that things aren't great, or denying that things could go wrong, right? It's just, well, yeah, they could go wrong, but I'm going to focus on all of the ways that it could go right. Or I am going to accept that, like, well, this is how my life is, but I have an opportunity, a choice to make about what's happening around me. And that could be a good choice or a bad choice, but it's open for me. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I'd say they're similar. Positive thinking, negative thinking, I really put aside because, first of all, it's judgment. This is, you know, where optimist sees everything. Where a positive thinker's in denial, in my experience. I only want to see the positive, so I won't see anything that doesn't fit what I have judged as positive. So with themselves, they won't see what is and isn't working in their own life, where an optimist has basically a vision of what they desire, and they see everything. So if you're driving down the road and there's a boulder in the road, the optimist sees it. The positive thinker, this is probably way dramatic, but no, there's no boulder. Nah, I only see the positive. I see the road. When they hit the boulder and oops, where an optimist will see it and deal with it. You know, they don't. I'm gonna throw this in, and it's just me. I mean, this is how I look at it. They don't overcome the boulder. They deal with the boulder. Rather than the boulder dealing with them. Overcoming, to me, this is just me. Maybe it's not just me.
Will you expand on that? Expand on that idea of dealing with the boulder.
Well, you deal with it. Like, you acknowledge it's there, and it's like, what do I want? So what do I get to do to get what I want? So I've got to deal with the fact there's a boulder in the way. So I go around it, or I go over it, or whatever. I'm not going to... The person... It's not, I got to blow up the boulder. Maybe that right now does not serve my purpose. So I've just got to deal with the fact that there's a boulder in the road. Or, you know, if you have you're going on you want to do something with the family and you got a kid that's sick, you deal with it. You know, you don't overcome it. You got to go through whatever you got to go through to deal with the sick child. Maybe you don't go away, or maybe, you know, you know, whatever your choices are, you know, you don't leave them in their room probably with a six pack of beer and the TV on and say, we'll be back in a couple hours. So the optimist to me is somebody that sees all the possibilities, where a pessimist would see none. You know, we're doomed. We gotta, you know, sometimes my parents, I laugh. Would do things like this. Something we'd be gonna go away, and then something would happen, and they're like, well, we're not going. We're not going. We can't go now. We can't go now because somebody made them angry or something like that. And I had wonderful parents, but they were just kind of quirky that way. And I kind of grew up in an environment of, I would call, pessimism. And that's, you know, I got to deal with that rather than overcome it, because it's a fact in my life that still affects me.
Now, Do you think that overcoming versus dealing, so would overcoming be more of like the positive thinker of just like, I'm going to just not deal with it? Like, I'm not going to face it. I'm just going to brush it under the rug. Like, I'm going to overcome it by how I push forward instead of like
something like that. Yeah.
Whatever it is that you need to go through that growth. Is that the difference between...
Well, yes. Yeah, overcoming is, I'm going to get it past me. I won't learn anything. And of course, there's going to be other boulders in my way.
I'm not going to let that stop me.
Yeah, right. Where the optimist will, you know, in their purest sense, will see it as, there's a reason it's there. And, it, you know, there's a lesson for me in this. And it, you know, it's there for everybody. But the lesson for me, what is it? And if I really deal with that, then I probably won't have that lesson come up again and again and again and again. So maybe the boulder isn't the best example, but it's kind of a metaphor for we have things that sometimes seem to get in our way of what we want in life, and instead of dealing with them, we just want to overcome and get it over with. But we learn nothing from that. We just sort of get it over with, and then it comes again. And, you know, people that get married multiple times, you know, they just want to overcome this bad marriage. I got to get out of this marriage, and I'll find the right person. And then they get married again. It's like, oops, same thing. What's going on? And they're not dealing with the issue. They're dealing with the circumstance. But why is this issue recreating itself over and over again? Where the optimist tends to see, what are the possibilities? What am I to learn? What's going on that this is happening?
Okay, so I have a question.
Okay.
So do you think that humility and pride have a part to play in optimism versus positive thinking?
Sure.
Because this is something that I learned just recently. I mean, we were just kind of discussing it at church on Sunday about humility. And I think one thing that a woman, she made a comment and said, you know, humility is just being aware. It's a hyper awareness of yourself, of knowing your strengths and your weaknesses and accepting them and growing from, you know, your experiences. And so this optimism, I don't know, it just kind of reminds me of just like acceptance, and I don't want to say like surrender, but just like accepting that life is what it is and there's a way through it, and you can choose to grow and deal with whatever is happening, these conflicts that you come up with, or you can choose to stay the same and overcome it, like you were saying. And then I had another question kind of in the same line of thinking. So you have conflict and problems in your life all day long. And I mentioned this in one of our podcasts, like maybe two episodes ago, about complainers and people who complain a lot. And they always have something to complain about. And in that same book, the guy who wrote it was like, whenever somebody asks me how I'm doing, I'm always telling them that I'm doing fantastic, mostly because that's what I want to be feeling. And if I express it in words, and we've talked about words and the energy of words and thoughts, but if I express that in words, then I have more of a chance to reach that fantastic feeling. And with, so like, I don't know, sometimes there's like that fine line of positive thinking and optimism. And, but I also see the reverse of it, of like the complaining and the pessimism, right? Like, which side, what side of the cup do you want to see? The cup half full, cup empty, you know? That's a pretty general expression, but I just am like, you know, listen to people sometimes and I, you know, how are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. You know, the weather's not great, or, you know, I'm struggling at work, or, you know, I had a fight with my husband, you know, and like, that's a pretty intense thing. But like, you know, they find something bad about everything around them rather than seeing the goodness and knowing, yeah, sure, the sky is great today, but that's okay. Sometimes the sun needs a break, you know? I don't know. So help me maybe define the line between the positive thinking and optimism. And how do you make the shift of being a complainer or a pessimist to being optimistic and, you know, not positive thinking, but not a complainer?
Well, first of all, is the glass half empty or half full? It doesn't matter how much water's in the glass. That's what matters.
Okay.
So the glass could be, you know, 10 gallons and you've got 3 ounces in there. If you have a little cup, it's full, but still 3 ounces of water either way. Life is not an either or in my experience. What do you want and are you going for it? And, you know, what's in the way and things like that. So, gosh, you asked a couple of different questions in there. But really, it's shifting your perspective. It's simple, but I'm not going to say it. But it doesn't typically happen overnight. So, like, even the trainings we did, it was 4 days. From day one to day four, they see the world very different. I did. I went in there, and people said, you're going to love yourself. And it's like, oh, I'd love that. But 4 days, no, I'm 37 years old. I'm not going to reverse 37 years. But 4 days later, I was like, wow, I can't believe this. And I did feel that. But, you know, then people say, well, it doesn't last. Well, of course not. Of course not. You know, you ate your meal at that darkened environment, it doesn't last. I mean, you can't live the rest of your life on that meal. You'll starve. You got to keep feeding, you know, and the challenge was I was feeding myself 37 years of what I picked up from my environment, which what a lot of it was, you know, my parents grew up in the Depression. So, you know, we can't afford it was a mantra. And, you know, every time they'd use a credit card to get a bill, they liked using the credit card to get a bill. Oh, they're gouging us. You know, later on I realized, well, Dad, you agreed to their gouging when you signed up for it. Anyway, shifting that, you got to feed that part of you. So what are you reading? What are you talking about? That's why language is so important. So if somebody says, how are you? And you say, oh, I'm terrible. You're feeding that part of you that wants to see limitation. You know, of course I'm terrible. It's raining. Well, that doesn't mean you have to be terrible. But if I grew up in an environment that I love the rain, by the way. So good thing I live here.
Yeah, I miss the South Carolina rain.
But we make it circumstantial. We base our feelings on circumstances, like how much money we have, how everybody else is, what the weather's like, what the traffic's like. I mean, and that's one I'm really have always been struggling with, traffic. I mean, if you want to push my button, throw me on the freeway anywhere. And, you know, when I was in Utah drivers are the worst. California drivers were the worst before that. Now South Carolina drivers are the worst. And they're not really. I mean, there's no measure of that. But really, it depends on what you feed yourself. Are you looking for the possibilities? Are you looking for the options in a world of unlimited possibilities? Are you looking for limitations? And that depends on what you want to be right about. If you want to be right that you can't, you'll find every reason in the book to not do something. But if you have something that you're really dreaming and you don't even know how, but you feel that it's there, you'll find a way. Now, somebody challenged me on this years ago in a training. They said, you mean if I want to be the center for the Lakers? The guy's like 6'2". And he's like, you're telling me I could be the center for the Lakers? No. Is that your dream? No. Then why are you asking? You're trying to see, that was a subtle attempt on his part to discount the idea that he could have anything he wants by putting out some ridiculous statement that he has no desire to do. So, you mean I could jump to the moon? Do you want to? No. Well, then who cares? What do you want out of life? And if you really focus on that and you really are clear, an optimistic person will find a way. And they probably don't know how to start. But the beginning is to say, okay, I'm going to go get this. Where the pessimist will say, I can't. You know, then they'll have all the reasons, all the excuses, all the stories. And it gets a lot of play because they'll go to other people that have given up on their dreams who will say, yeah, I know what you mean. I don't blame you. That's one of my favorite. I don't blame you. Well, why are we blaming anybody? You know? But I don't blame you. Oh, good, good. I thought you were going to blame me for, you know. No, I'm glad you gave up because I gave up too and I want validation. I'll share with you a story. When I lived in Rancho Cucamonga, California, a guy in my church came over and he wanted to share a network marketing company. You probably heard of Amway.
I feel like I have.
Have you ever heard of Amway? I mean, if you're in that church, you should have. This was in the 80s, and it was one of the first network marketing companies, and it would go through phases of going through the church members. And the guy named Bruce, he was an engineer, made a good living, but he came over and telling us about Amway, and my parents had been in Amway, not done anything with it. And I said, no, Amway's saturated, everybody's heard about it, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna make this work. Well, a year later, Bruce quit his job as an engineer, and I was still telling him it wouldn't work. So, you know, we both were right. It's just I was right being, you know, and being a pessimist, could you say? And he was right. He was going to get what he wanted, and he did. Or, you know, my parents had somebody in our church that got very successful, and my mother said, well, that's fine, but I don't want to lose my spirituality by becoming rich. And see, there's the either or. You can't have it all. So I grew up in that environment, and I love my parents. I really do love my parents. They were great parents. They were wonderful parents, but some of the things they taught me been challenges.
As with every...
Right.
Everyone, yeah. You know, everybody was taught things that they have to unlearn.
So going back to your thing, what do you feed yourself? Who do you hang with? What kind of people do you hang with? And it's not that you shun other people, but, you know, people that will support you, people that will encourage you. Some will blow smoke, but really people that will see the best in you and support you in getting it. And they'll be willing to be honest with you where they see you in your own way. So you feed that part of you. And part of it is with your words. How do you feel today? I feel great. You know why? Because I choose to feel great. And that's a choice I make, and I'm making it in the moment. And it doesn't matter about other things.
I had a couple of questions, but I wanted to share a story about... So as an optimist, you talk a lot about like not placing good or bad on things and just it is what it is. But I feel like when we are finding or trying to find happiness and joy and fulfillment, we want to place our thoughts on a more positive level of thinking, in the sense that maybe I'm stuck in the idea of the either or of like, well, if you see the sky is gray, it's either a good thing or a bad thing, rather than like it just is.
It's just gray.
You're right. It is just gray. And then you can still be who you are. You can still choose joy and happiness, regardless of if the clouds are gray or if, this is silly, but you don't have any friends or you didn't get enough sleep. It's like, well, sure, or not enough, but you just got 3 hours of sleep. Okay, you got 3 hours of sleep. You can still be who you want to be. It's just kind of what do you want out of that? So you're saying just take the labels off of it. It's not good or bad. It just is. What do you want? You want to be joy. You want to be grateful. You want to be, you know, kind. Then be those things. But what's happening around you is not good or bad. It just is. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you're always going around, you know, like that, because that would be fake. You know, if...
Right. That's the positive thinking. Yeah. Like the everything.
You throw
is great, all the
yams
time.
In front of me at Christmas time, and I'm going to be pushing them away. It's just being real, you know, and sometimes you are sad. And it's okay to be sad. When my mother died, you know, I was sad. I was very sad. And I realized, because people are saying, you know, oh, you should be happy. Well, I should be, but, you know, right now I'm just dealing with, I'm I have a sadness. My mother died. But I also knew I got to work through that and deal with it rather than overcome it by putting on the happy face for everybody else. So I worked through it, and I actually...
And you never labeled it as that you were wrong or bad because of those things. You just, it was, and you allowed that time and season in your life, and you were able to feel it and go through it and become stronger, right?
Right. And, you know, like maybe your life is a certain way, and people say, well, you should be happy. Well, it's not for them to make that choice for me. But it's looking at, why am I unhappy? What's going on inside of me? I mean, maybe I have a beautiful house and money and all these kind of things and all this. I mean, you've talked about this, but you would not have had the shift in you had you just said, well, I should be happy, so act happy. You had to work through what was going on in you to come to this point of a realization that sometimes you're not always happy in life, and it's not your circumstances. You are like women that have babies. I'm not a woman, obviously, but they have postpartum depression, and they got to go through that. I mean, really, I mean, you know, they've got to go through that to get to the other side. You can't just fake like, oh, I'm good. Because you don't feel good. Sometimes you don't. And so you just acknowledge it. But by acknowledge it, it gives you power to go through it. Where if you fight it, because I'm not supposed to be this way, you're going to hang on to that for a long, long, long time in my experience. So, yeah.
So I wanted to talk about two experiences. So the first one is an experience where I faced conflict or something that was hard for me. So
go ahead.
I'm a woman. I have a monthly cycle, and each phase of the cycle is different. And I'm learning so much more about it than I ever have in my life. I'm 31 years old, and I didn't even know the names of the different phases of my cycle until this year. So other than menstruation. So I was like, I didn't know anything that there were different phases and that in each phase, different things are happening to your body and you are experiencing different things. And so because of that, you have to treat your body differently than you would normally. My baby is screaming in the background. So like for me, when I go through the luteal phase, which is before menstruation, I get like crazy mood swings where I am like angry in an instant and I feel overwhelmed. I feel exhausted all the time. I want more sugar. Like these are things that's pretty typical for that phase, but I didn't understand it. And not only that, but I feel like a crazy person when I get into this stage, because before this stage, I am like on top of the world. I feel beautiful. I feel strong. I'm like, everything's amazing and I can do everything all by myself. I don't need, you know, any help whatsoever. And then this phase hits me and it's like, I just go right back to like rock bottom and I'm emotional and I'm angry and moody and all of these things. And I am learning how to love my body that I've been given, because I was given a body. I am a woman and I have these things that I will be going through for another 20 plus years, and learning how to work with my phases and my cycle rather than fighting against it and just like hating myself for 2 weeks, you know? And so that's like something that I'm currently learning how to embrace and love, because I get to this point and I know it happens overnight, literally overnight. And I just feel like a different person. I don't want to get up in the morning. I don't have motivation, all this stuff. So anyways, this is still a journey for me. This is something that I'm just learning about and that I want to overcome. But it's one of those, like, I want to view it as that optimism or that optimist of like, this is what it is. This is what's happening. It's not good or bad. It just is happening. And you can learn from it and grow and go through it, or you can just brush it under the rug. And I don't know, one of the things that I'm really trying to prevent is letting it be an excuse. Like, oh, I'm in this stage and so I'm just moody and you just have to like
deal with
mom that's moody, right? Yeah. I'm trying to make it better. I'm trying to work on it to where I can feel more in control of myself, or, you know, like do what I can to be balanced and healthy in all the ways that I can with my cycle. But I really am trying not to allow it to be like, well, I'm just choosing to not wake up this morning because I feel lazy, rather than like, or like making that the excuse for me not taking care of my body. Like, I'm just going to eat crap because I'm in this stage, right? But it's like, I want to use it as a growth opportunity and an accepting opportunity and a way for me to like love this part of my body, because this is something that for several months now I've been very upset about. I'm like, why do I feel like such a different person in this phase of my cycle? And now I'm learning about it, and now I'm learning that there's a lot of things that I can do to help work with it, and that I can make the most out of this natural thing that God put in this world that's not just with women. It's with the moon and it's with life. Like, people are born and they grow and then they, you know, decline and then they die. It's like, these are the cycles of life, and women are another symbol of that cycle of life, right? Like our monthly cycle is kind of like that. So anyways, that's one of the experiences. And then there's another one that's the opposite. So this, I don't know if this was just positive thinking or denial or what it was. So I was getting sick and I was like, I could feel it. I could feel it in my head. I could feel it in my throat. And I was like, I had a lot going on. I had a baptism. I had a party. I had a big interview that we were doing on the podcast. And I was kind of like, I was in this mindset, like, I'm not going to get sick. I'm going to be completely healthy. I am going to, you know, have energy and be motivated. And that was what I was feeding myself. So you talk about feeding yourself. It wasn't like I could tell that something was going on and my body was fighting something. And I'll tell you, I probably wasn't an optimist. I wasn't accepting it. I was absolutely saying, I am healthy. I'm fine. I'm healthy. I'm strong. And I have all the energy that I need. And I would say that to myself constantly. And I was like listening to other people around me who got sick, awfully sick, and just like were knocked off their feet for a week or, you know, whatever it was. And I, there were times when I couldn't talk to people that were sick because I was like, I need to focus on me being healthy right now because I don't want to think about the possibility of me getting sick because I want to focus on being healthy. And so that was my focus and I focused on it. I felt that sickness. I felt it inside of me for probably a solid week, but I didn't ever allow it to determine my mentality of like, I was just, I'm going to be healthy. I am healthy. I am motivated. I do have energy, all of those things. And I did all of the steps that I needed to. I would take Tylenol and just like, like I said, I kind of just tried to ignore it and not feed that part of my brain. It was, well, no, I'm healthy. I got this Tylenol because I have a headache, but I'm healthy. I didn't say to anybody that I was feeling bad or anything. I just kept it inside and was like, nope, I'm healthy. I'm strong. So I don't know if that's just a positive thinking, but I do know it had power because I didn't succumb to the sickness. And so I think that there is some power to feeding ourselves with that positive emotion and positive words and positive thinking. And
let's call it affirming.
Okay. Affirming.
Well, you call it what you want. I'm sorry.
That's helpful. This is helpful for me to define.
Affirming, it affirms where you want to be. But, you know, sometimes our body gives us feedback. Well, it always does. Sometimes it's telling us, you got to rest. Sometimes it's saying, you're being a little careless here. So, you know, what you did, maybe your body was saying, okay, let's say you're being a little careless, so get yourself back in tune, and you affirm, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes it may be saying, Alyssa, you got to slow down a little bit. You're going to wear your body out, or you're just tired. How do you know the difference? Yeah, it depends.
It's being aware.
Being aware.
We talked about
yeah.
this. Being aware of your body and what it needs.
Yeah.
And I took a bunch of vitamins. I took some Tylenol when I was really feeling bad and I had to do things. I slept with a humidifier every night. I listened to a certain frequency that is like promoting health, mm-hmm. you know, at night. Like I would just leave it on all night long so that I was just, that was what I was listening to. And then I would do my affirmations every day, just telling myself I was healthy. I was eating especially healthy. I was trying to work out, but not push my body, mm-hmm. you know, like I was trying to exercise, but still know when I was doing too much. And I was getting a lot of rest. So like I would go to bed at like 9 o'clock on those days. But it was one of those things that I didn't want to tell anybody about it because I didn't want people to be like, oh, how are you feeling? I heard you were sick. And then affirm that to
Got
me.
It.
Because it's like, I don't know. That was just, I was really trying, I was doing an experiment with myself to see if I was able to feed myself good things enough that my body listened to me and said, you're okay. You're doing good things.
I believe it does. And Deepak Chopra, you're familiar with him?
You introduced him to me a few episodes ago.
A few years ago, I was listening to him, and he said he's never been sick for 20-some years. And it was all about what he feeds. I'm not there. I'm not there. But, you know, it's just knowing your body and knowing yourself. And that comes from being aware, being open. Humility, to me, is being open. I'm teachable. It's not, you know, I'm a doormat. that's totally not humility. Being open. So all of these things work together in the same energy field as love, acceptance, all that. All that's in the same realm.
I did have a question because you mentioned how, you know, you surround yourself with positive people. So you say you don't cut other people out. I have a really hard time doing that. And maybe it's just because it's so new to me. But it's like when other people are their complainers or they're negative or they're victims, it's like it's very hard for me to be around them and to listen to them because I don't want that, you know, and I don't agree with that. So I'm either like very silent and not connecting with them, or I just walk away, right? And I don't know if that's wrong of me, because I feel like, you know, I should be loving and non-judgmental and all of those things. But there's sometimes when I just feel that energy and I'm like, I don't want that in my life. Like, I don't need that.
Well, who's to say that walking away isn't the most loving thing you could do? You know, you choose to be this. And if you're around people that choose to be complainers, I mean, that's not their best. That's not their greatest. That's not the power of them. So sometimes walking away is a very powerful message to them. Now they can interpret it as, oh, you think you're better than us. and they will, some will. But really, for those that would look at that, it could be a very powerful statement to say, I choose to be in a different space. And you know what? And really, in the space of love and acceptance, you got to you accept that they could judge you. They're judging anyway. Now they're just judging you for a while, but they'll turn to something else to judge. I mean, that's what complaining is. It's judgment, and it's also a quick way to get validation because people love to complain. You know, I don't know if I've used this example, but I say, let's fill a room with 100 people. I'm going to go talk about this. You're going to complain. You'll get more people over at your table.
Yeah, you have talked about that before. Yeah, but it's true because it's people are seeking validation. And I see that in so many aspects of my life. And it's like people don't want to be told. And I have this from personal experience that people don't want to be told that they could grow from a bad experience. That there was, I mean, not that there was a reason, but like, that there is a reason. That so my life coach, my mentor, would always say, you have to trust that life is happening perfectly for you. Well, what if your husband had an affair and you got a divorce? Was that happening perfectly for me? And that's...
Yes.
That's my belief.
Yes.
But people don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that was perfect for you. And there is, as you deal with that, there is opportunity and growth in that, and you become a more beautiful you, a more perfect version of you, because you're dealing with that. But people don't want to hear that. They want to be validated that, you know, that my life isn't perfect and that bad things are happening to me, and the complaining and the, I mean, they just want to feel like it's same boat therapy of like somebody knows that I, you know, that this sucks. And there's other people around me that tell me, yeah, you're right, it does suck. So I don't know. I have a hard time because it just, people don't want to hear that. And how do you get there? How do you get to the point where you make that shift? Or for me, how do I just walk away from that and just not be judgmental? That's my biggest thing. Is sometimes I'm like,
okay, well, that's it. So complaining isn't bad. It's just complaining. What's the energy of complaining? And if you walk away, you walk away, you know. But when you take away the judgment, then when you're in it in the moment, you're going to be more clear on what to do about it. You might speak up, you know, rather than just walk away. But you speak up not in judgment, but just in a space of love to let it be known that this isn't working for you. Now, some people will take it as judgment, and I'm not going to say how it should be done, because in the moment you will be guided. But you don't know what you'll do. But first of all, you take off the judgment that complaining is bad. The real question is, does it work for you? Does it work for them? Well, if they want to get validation, yeah, complaining is a great way to get validation. If they want peace and joy, probably not. You know, it probably doesn't work. But if you tell somebody what they're doing is bad, they tend to put their feet in cement and resist. And they don't want to look at that. So if you were just say, you know what, I love you guys, complaining, it just feels like everybody's complaining, I'd rather be in a different space. So I'll see you. You know, you're not telling them what they're doing wrong. You're just saying, I don't want to be here. Or you just quietly walk away and they say, where's Alyssa? You know, some will say, oh, she thinks she's better than us. And she walked away. And others though, might be going, maybe I want to hang out with her and not here. But even in the explanation of why you walked away, it takes a consciousness to stay out of judgment. It's just like, hey, you guys, you know, you're having a discussion. I didn't feel like it was something I was interested in, and I don't want to be poop in the punch bowl. So I just thought I would leave. There's something I call an energy ladder. And this is based on studies done at MIT. And people, we vibrate based on our emotions and state of being. And low vibration to be about 10,000 vibrations a second. A second, that's a lot of vibrating. But that's where shame is. Then you go up a little bit and you have guilt, and then you have anger, and you have judgment, depression, all these things are in there. All of these are in the realm of fear, and all these things vibrate at a level, and you can feel it. You ever, somebody walks in a room and you feel either, wow, that's really, I want to be near them, or, ooh, that's just kind of a dark cloud over there. And you feel it. They haven't said anything. They may be smiling, but something says, you know, it feels dishonest. It feels like lies. Well, that's in the realm of fear. So judgment's down there. So when you say somebody's good or somebody's bad, or you say positive or negative, that's judgment. So it's still what I would call below the line. And there's a line that we traverse to rise above that, so to speak. I don't mean that in the I'm better than that. But the line is where courage lies. Now, the word courage, the root of it is the heart from, French or Latin. It's a heart. So we go into our heart, not the pump, but the heart area. And that's where we transfer into courage, where, you know, we step up into the realm where there's acceptance, trust, love. And this has all been measured. I don't know how they do that, but it's all been measured that we get up to a space that we're vibrating at 1,000,000 vibrations per second. And they said that's where enlightenment is. So I use what I call the energy ladder. And am I being above the line of courage, or am I being below the line? And how do I know? Well, I can feel it. And, you know, when you do that, you can start to feel others. And if somebody says something to you, the words may match the energy of love, but the vibration may be, I don't get it. I don't get it. And you don't have to say anything to them. It's just like, you know, I mean,
you can feel.
Yes, you can feel
the intention, because the intention is the energy that's put out.
Right.
Not necessarily, you know, what they're saying.
Right. And so our ego has learned to mimic the above the line, all the words and all the things. That's where con artists come in. You know, they know what to say to fool people. And it's like, oh, they seem so sincere. They said everything. And, oh, it was so beautiful. But then something in you goes, I don't get that they get what they're saying. The energy doesn't match the message. So you don't discount the message necessarily, because it might be something that's really great. But, you know, if somebody's trying to sell you something, honestly, if we live in this space, they could never fool us. I'm not there yet, though. Because we would feel, is this person real or is this person just trying to sell me something? So I had a saying I used to say, energy doesn't lie, but people do. So feel the energy along with the words. and see if they match. And we'll make mistakes, you know, because we're learning, but that goes a long way to getting out of judgment, first of all. It's like, no, I just feel there's a little bit of dishonesty there. I'm not judging that. Like, I don't want to be part of that. So, no, I'm not going to buy your aluminum siding or whatever you're selling.
So, and I think that there's something that a woman on a different podcast shared about judgment, and that there's a line of judgment, and there's two different kinds of judgment, because we are judging every single day based on, like, we're making decisions based on judgment. Like, I'm judging that's not something I want to be a part of. I'm not judging that that's bad or wrong, but I'm making a judgment that that's not something I want to do. That's a choice that I'm making. I don't want to be a part of that. And I think a definition or a, I don't know what word I'm trying to look for, but basically a definition of that judgment that you're talking about is like, take out the bad or good and accept it for what it is. The positive or negative, take it out and then make a choice. Does that work for me or not? Right? Which that part is us judging for ourselves if we want to be a part of that or not. Judging for ourselves, you know, and I think that, I don't know, because, and again, maybe I'm just in that lower
frequency. I use
frequency.
The word discerning.
Discerning, that's a good word.
I'm discerning, you know, yeah. I'm feeling, and it's like, oh, to me, it's different than judgment, and, you know, maybe it's semantic to some people and all right, but it, to me, it's a tool to look and say, am I judging or am I discerning? And I can feel the difference. This feels off, but I'm not reacting to it. I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to be here or whatever. You know, it's like you're watching a movie and it's just not grabbing you. You're not sitting there going, oh, this is terrible. I'm going to, you know, you're just, okay, we're leaving. We could torture ourselves for 2 hours watching this. So no, we're going to walk out of the movie. Or, you know, yams. I don't like yams. So I don't have a reaction, really. I just don't like them. So don't put them on my plate. But, you know, you're not reacting when you're discerning. In judgment, we react. And really, when we judge and we react, we're giving power to that entity. So, like, if you walked away from your friends that were complaining and you're angry, why are you angry? You know, why would you be angry? Well, because they're over there complaining. Yeah, they're over there, but here I am and I'm being angry because they're over there complaining. I'm reacting to that. Whereas, like, they're complaining, okay, when they're done, I'm not disassociating myself with them as friends. Just when they're complaining, I'm going to do something else or distract myself or something like that. But it's not a reaction. It's just, yeah. Okay.
Right. And I did want to say,
I'm not saying I've got that knocked.
I am like, I don't think anybody's perfect at never complaining. And in fact, I feel like sometimes, especially because we have emotions of every kind. And like you've said a lot is like, we shouldn't put judgment on these things. We shouldn't put whether they're good or bad. They just are. So like, I have tried to learn how to accept my feelings, even the, you know, the ones that a lot of our society deem as negative or not good feelings, like anger and sadness and frustration and all those things. And I've tried to just express them. That's something that one of our interviewees, Hunter Clark, talks a lot about in her book, is just like, just expressing that you're angry really calms things down. And you're able to embrace that that's what you're feeling, but that's not what you're giving power to, right? And anyway, so like there are times when for me, just expressing what I'm feeling, even if that means I'm complaining, it's healing for me and it's helpful for me because it's one of those things that I'm dealing with this emotion. I'm getting it out so that I'm not denying it. I'm not pushing it aside. Like I can just think my way positively around this. It's more of like, no, I feel this way and it's okay that I feel this way, but I'm going to get it out and deal with it, like you said, rather than brush it under the rug. Like there are a lot of times when I will, I call it unloading, but hopefully, you know, it doesn't come off that way to Remington. But there are times when I just have to go talk to him. Like, I feel so frustrated or like I'm feeling so depressed or, you know, like these things are happening and I'm so frustrated with myself or with my body or with the kids or whatever. And I just need to talk about it. I just need to say, I just feel so frustrated right now because this happened. And, you know, I hope that you know that it's not because I don't love this person or that person, or, you know, hopefully you're okay with me just talking about it. But I've learned that just getting it out is very healing. And I should be better about unloading my feelings on a piece of paper instead of on another person, because sometimes that can be hard.
You should be better. See, that's a judgment.
That's a judgment.
But let me tell you a couple tools. One, I call it venting. You know, you boil water, it's got to vent. And you got to, you know, if you try to hold it in, eventually it's going to explode. And that's people in anger management, you know, put your feelings in and they're going to explode. So if you got an issue with somebody, you can go to Remington, because venting, you go to a third party that's neutral, doesn't care, and you can vent. And that's one way to let the pressure off. A couple things that are going to sound nuts. Sometimes I'm driving in my car on the freeway, and you know, when nobody's around, and I will do a primal scream for 5 minutes.
There are actually screaming rooms, like screaming therapy, that people just go, and that's what they do, is they just scream, or anger therapy, where they just go, they go hit things, and they just, they let out all of this anger that they've pent up inside for one reason or another. And I've heard that it's very healing. It's very, you just release it. You've dealt with it, right? Like you release it, you deal with it, and then you can walk away and say,
it releases the pressure so you can look at it more neutrally. So sometimes I'll scream, go in another room. I mean, I'll do it when Kathy's not here, but I'll go scream in a pillow because we have neighbors. But I'll put my face in a pillow and scream. We used to do what we'd called connected breathing in a training, where people would just breathe in different rhythms, but it was a way of releasing the pressure. And so if you, like say, if you have an issue with Remington, you don't go vent on Remington because that's going to be judgment, judgment, judgment. But if you vent somehow, then you can go to Remington and talk to him. And rather than getting emotional or blaming, you just talk to him and saying, here's what my concerns are. And you're not just basically throwing up on him everything that you might believe is his fault. By venting, you can see it more clearly and realize, you know, okay, this does bother me. It really does. But what can we do to, because you don't want to just tell him he can't do something. Well, maybe you do, but that he can't do something that he really likes to do. But there, by venting, you can go to him and you guys can come to some agreement that would work for both of you. Not compromise, but agreement.
And I think it's the win-win-win scenario. Compromise is
a win. There's only win-win or lose-lose.
You know,
because if it's win-lose, we're all losing.
There's a win-win-win.
But yeah, so you just keep in mind venting, you know, but you got to make sure, like if you wanted to go vent to a neighbor, you got to ask her, hey, can I come over and vent? And what I do, if I ever do that, I say, look, I don't want you to say a word.
No advice needed. I just need to let it out. Yeah. That's the big thing. It's like when, because I feel like that is the complaining. And it's like when you get into that whole, like, I'm venting to someone, it needs to be someone who doesn't give you advice and who's not there to talk you through whatever you're going through. It's like, nope, I know that I can do this. I know that I can solve my own problem. I just need to let it out. This is something I'm learning with my kids. Sometimes they just need to let it out. And they just need to talk about it. I'm not going to solve their problem for them, but they need somebody they can trust to unload what they're feeling. So I like that idea of it's venting, but it's not, I'm not seeking for advice. I'm not seeking for judgment from somebody else to, I'm not seeking for validation. Like I just need to talk about how I'm feeling. I know I'm feeling this way.
Clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to clear it out. Clear it out. Yeah. Yep. Cleaning up, cleaning up. You're just taking a golf ball. It's in the mud. The golf ball's still pure. And you just put it in the washer so you get the mud off. So the golf ball is just perfect golf ball.
It's cleansing.
So it will go true to flight. Now, if I'm golfing, that's always a mystery. But you know, just when I would work with people, I'd say, look, we're just cleaning the mud off you. You know, underneath it, you're perfect. But we're just getting the mud off so we can see you.
Well, I think we're about out of time, so let's wrap up. But I just thank you for this episode. This has been great. I feel like I've learned a lot, and hopefully our listeners have learned a lot. So
I learn a lot from you. So I don't always say it, but I do. Everything we do, I walk away and I ponder it for, you know, more than you might realize. It's not just, oh, good, we're done. So even last week, I didn't say much, but I actually, you know, was thinking about a lot of things. I mean, there's not a whole lot I'm going to say when, you know, you're talking with another woman about women things. Like when you talked about your situation, your cycle, I'm like, yeah, I can relate.
Yeah,
no,
I totally get that.
No, that would be a lie. But I do learn a lot from these. These are very, and I'm writing a book, and it's not like a novel. It's a book on concepts. So this really is beneficial.
I love that.
In that regard.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. That's awesome, Michael. Well, all right. If you guys enjoyed this episode, go ahead and hit the subscribe button and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Share it with your friends and family, maybe somebody who needs to hear what we've talked about. And if you guys have questions, if you guys want to go deeper, want to go further, reach out to us. We love hearing from you guys. We want to know what you guys want to talk about. Thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. Thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. Remember, you already are everything you aspire to be. Continue this journey and embrace the beauty it brings. Create the life you desire and remember your infinite worth and infinite potential. Until next time, live as though you already are.